that 200,000 people were evacuated from their homes due to the bursting of the Oroville Dam spillway is a good indication of just how precarious is California's water supply. And that leads us to ask, will California have enough water to grow the nation's food?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now, get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Well, thank you, Will Strickland. Hello out there. You are tuned into the 1092nd edition of the Food Chain right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or, hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there in sunny Luganville who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Jason Strubia on the boards. Hello, Jason.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Hey, quick question. Got any idea how much of America's food is grown here in California? Take a wild guess.
I would think the majority.
Like 51%?
Yeah, like 51%.
Okay. Well, Olivia Duncan, how close did our engineer come to the number?
Decently close. It's actually 2/3 of the nation's produce, and that's just produce.
Just produce. Wow. But we also grow, of course, the dairy and the nuts and all kinds of things. So much food growing here. Well, folks, in California, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting. Over the years, there has been a lot of fighting for water in California. And as a consequence, water now flows uphill for hundreds of miles. It took a lot of money and engineering to dam and plumb the state, but that effort made possible the growth of so much of the nation's fresh fruit, nuts, vegetables, and dairy. The fighting has never let up, and in fact is more intense than ever, with agriculture now contending with cities and wildlife for every last drop. Then, right in the middle of all that fighting, the state's crown jewel of a dam literally burst its spillway. The Oroville Dam, at 770 feet, is the nation's tallest, providing drinking water to more than 2/3 of California's population. Runoff from recent drought-busting rains filled the dam to overflowing, thus putting at risk the dam's auxiliary overflow wall. Then when engineers increased the flow at the floodgates to compensate, the spillway failed as well. The extent of the trouble was made clear for all when authorities ordered the evacuation of 200,000 people who lived below the dam. The near failure of the Oroville Dam and the ongoing and ever-intensifying fight for the state's water leads us to ask, will California have enough water to grow the nation's food? Well, we've got a couple of very good people to ask that question here today. We have, we'll start with Danny Merkley, who is the Director of Water Resources, California Farm Bureau in Sacramento. Danny, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you.
Good to have you aboard. One more time. I got to test my volume here.
Okay. Thank you for having me on.
Okay. Got you there. So pleasure to have you. California Farm Bureau, Sacramento. What is the Farm Bureau? What do you guys do?
The California Farm Bureau is a federation. We have 53 county farm bureaus throughout the state. We represent farmers and ranchers and those in the rural communities throughout the state, growing any number of the 400 commodities that we grow in California.
Good to go. Also with us today, we have Dr. Bill Wattenberg, who is an engineer and senior research scientist at California State University in Chico. But everybody in radio knows Dr. Bill, and we are so happy to have him with us today because I always think of him as the MacGyver of engineering. If anybody knows how to fix anything, it's Dr. Bill Wattenberg. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, my pleasure.
Good to have you aboard. I think I have a... Can we pick up the volume on him a little bit there? Okay, good. Well, Dr. Bill, you're up there in Chico, correct?
Yes, I moved back to Chico where I started out many, many years ago, but I still spend a lot of time at the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory and elsewhere around the country.
Good. Well, you know, the interesting thing about our guest today, folks, is one is a downstream guy from the Oroville Dam, and the other is an upstream guy from the Oroville Dam. So, Danny, what did your friends and neighbors and associates say and think when they heard that there was a huge evacuation going on of all those people who live underneath the dam?
Well, it was very concerning to a lot of people. I think we saw some of the best of people step up and really help each other out and do what was necessary. I think it was a little confusing, some of the messaging that came from the Department of Water Resources, but at the same time, I think they and law enforcement did a remarkable job of addressing public safety and erring on the side of caution.
Now, that's very, very nice of you to say, but, I mean, weren't people a little bit concerned? You're right downstream there. I mean, you're right on the Sacramento River.
People were very concerned, and it's all the way from immediately downstream at Oroville, where I've got a lot of friends and colleagues, including our first vice president of the California Farm Bureau is an olive grower in Butte County. He actually lives outside of the evacuation area, but was actually with his Cub Scout group at the time they were evacuating folks. And then point south of there, all the way down. I mean, we've seen in recent floods, going back to 97, when we had some real serious problems with communities flooding and some very valuable farmland and crops, trees, and whatnot.
Well, Dr. Bill, you're upstream from the Oroville Dam, and so when, of course, the word went out to run for it, people ran for it toward Chico. How did the community react to that?
I was surprised how amazingly calm it was, really. They opened up the Silver Dollar Fairgrounds, a very large area, and welcomed many, many thousands of people. I think the majority of the people who fled from the Oroville area north probably went elsewhere other than Chico or to friends, you know, in this farming community in Northern California. Most folks have a lot of friends around who will help out because they certainly didn't have 60,000 in Chico.
And that would have been a lot of people to, you know, put up, a lot of tents to put up, my goodness.
I was shuddering if, in fact, more than maybe 5,000 or so had hit that place, but many of us went over and contributed what we could, the folks there. And, you know, I've warned so many people for... Excuse me, I have a little tickle in my throat. I got getting over a cold. I've warned so many people for 40 years all over the nation, be prepared with some food in the trunk of your car, food to take care of your family for 2 weeks at home. Anything can happen, and boom, it happened. They and me, those folks had to be out in 15 minutes, and most didn't have time to, or didn't have emergency supplies with them.
Whew. You know, the extent of the evacuation was truly amazing. I'm trying to think the last time I heard of an evacuation of that extent. The only thing I can think about was the Mount St. Helens volcano blowing up and people having to evacuate that area, but there weren't that many people up there.
No, it wasn't the size of this.
Yeah.
And I was very concerned because I knew the danger at the dam. You know, they had been warned years ago to do some more maintenance, but there's just one particular area I was familiar with, so were a lot of engineers, and the state officials, they just yawned and looked the other way until it's too late.
Well, let's start there, because it's true that the people who... Now, that's the state dam. The state was warned a number of times, was actually sued by three environmental organizations, I think the Sierra Club, the Friends of the River, and one other. Do you remember who it was, Olivia? It's one other organization.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the Yuba Youth organization?
The folks that live right down there. They took the dam operators to court and said, you got to fix this, or the state to court, and nothing became of it. Evidently, they must not have won their lawsuit because nothing was fixed. Doctor, as an engineer, can you tell us what exactly failed on that dam?
All right. You have to get a picture of the Oroville Dam. The main dam blocks up a deep canyon. Okay. Off to the side, on the north side, is a spillway. And it comes down the side of the canyon and the natural mountain, rock and dirt. And a big concrete spillway used for many, many years. And then the next section to the north is a concrete wall about 30 feet high. That wall is the emergency spillway. It is, the level of it is slight, it is lower than the top of the earthen dam.
Oh.
Because you never ever want water to go over the earth dam itself.
Can you hold that, Doctor? We have to take a quick break.
Sure.
And we don't want to miss this because it's so important. What happened to that Oroville Dam to cause officials to send 200,000 people on the run? And will it leave us with enough water?
You can dream it, build it, own it, Metro Farm it. You can sow it, feed it, grow it, Metro Farm it. Ah, you can harvest it and dry it. You can sell it, Metro Farm it.
Learn how to dream it, build it, sow it, seed it, grow it, harvest it, sell it, Metro Farm it. Yes, you can do it. Dream it, build it, earn it, own it, Metro Farm it.
Oh, learn it, do it, earn it, Metro Farm it. Dream it, build it, own it. It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it.
It's all in Metro Farm, the guide to growing for the city. Get your copy today at metrofarm.com.
It's easy, you can do it, Metro Farm it. And now, back to What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
Welcome back out there. We are getting a first-hand look at what went wrong with the Oroville Dam with the engineer of emeritus of California. That's what a good title for Dr. Bill Wattenberg, engineer emeritus of California. So we're looking at that. We have a wall there, and that's slightly below the earthen dam because we never want the water to go over the earthen dam part, because if that happens, the dam melts, right?
That's right. Small amount of erosion starts in an earth-filled dam. We've had good examples of this many times over the last century. It cuts out a slot so quick you can't believe it. I was 15 years old. I was on a bulldozer in Yuba City with my dad. He had two old bulldozers. I ran one, he ran another one. And during those floods in 1953, we had worked our way all the way down the Western Pacific Railroad tracks because of washouts. We were in Yuba City and sitting on the levee when it started to wash out. And I was so dumb, I thought I could push some dirt in the hole because it was only 100 yards in front of me. And my dad came running off of his bulldozer behind me with a stick. And he started swatting at me to get out of there. And was I lucky, because I kicked that old 3TD7 in reverse, high reverse, and started backing up. And the levee disappeared in front of me faster than I could back up. You know, I barely made it out of there.
So fortunately, we had a situation in which the water did not go over the earthen wall. It went over the concrete emergency spillway, right?
Yeah. Let me continue a description
of
that. The concrete spillway is 1,700 feet long. It's just a big concrete wall, okay, and sitting on natural ridgetop dirt off to the side of the main dam. Now, water had never gone over that, but when they built that wall, where the water would fall off over on the west side, they never had any concrete surfacing down there to keep the water from eroding the mountainside. They were warned about that properly by many groups, and
wow,
any engineer that saw that would just shudder. I did many, many times as they were building the dam, and later I wasn't part of a protest. But I can tell you, it was just total negligence on the part of the state to never fix the hillside where the water would pour over to keep it from eroding away and just taking the whole bottom out from under the concrete wall. And the real danger that caused the panic was suddenly they saw the mountainside eroding underneath that concrete wall where the water was coming down. And believe me, they did exactly the right thing in calling for the evacuation. I give the credit the sheriff in Butte County the credit for making some emergency decisions others didn't, you know.
Because had that wall gone...
Oh. If that wall had gone, that's 30 feet of water off the top 30 feet of Orville Dam. That's more water than is stored in places like the Folsom Dam. And suddenly it would come out as a sheet of 30 feet high water, 1,700 feet, quarter of a mile long or wide. By the time it went down the canyon towards Orville, it'd be probably a wall of water 50, 60, 70 feet high, and all the way down to Mary's. It would have wiped out all the towns.
Would it have gone as far as Sacramento?
Yes, no question. Hey, they'd been flooded in Sacramento. It would have been a matter of a day before it all got there, because the water would have hit the Sacramento Valley going down the Feather River Channel and spread out in many ways and wiped out a lot of farmland, and that would have slowed its progression down. But again, by the time, within a day or so, in my opinion, they would have been flooding Sacramento.
Well, so, first of all, the first thing that's so incredibly striking is that they neglected to put a concrete spillway under the auxiliary wall. Well, that seems to me like a major defect.
This is what you see everywhere, though. excuse me, I had a little cough. What you see everywhere, new bureaucrats come into public agencies. They never look back. They look forward to where they can spend new money if they can get it somewhere else. But the state in general has not spent the money to keep the infrastructure from highways or roadways to waterways to dams to keep it up in shape for what it was intended to do. And this is a classic example, because this whole process started with a crack in the main spillway, the main concrete line spillway that had been used for, 60 years. And they didn't do anything about it. Now, the money goes into social programs, and the governor was told, the officials were told. But every agency like Caltrans or Department of Water Resources gets a new crew of politically appointed so-called experts who frankly don't know, don't know their back pockets from a hole in the ground. And they demonstrated that in this, they were warned immediately when the original spillway started to crack. Get in and fix that right now. Okay. Could do it in a couple of days.
Wow. Okay, Danny Merkley, as the Director of Water Resources for the California Farm Bureau, and you look at the situation with respect to the Orville Dam, and you see, one of the state's crown jewels, it malfunctioned to the extent that it did. When you look around at the rest of California's water infrastructure, what do you think?
Well, one of the challenges we have, and I think Dr. Wattenberg, hit the nail on the head when he talked about, money being spent for a lot of other programs instead of both maintaining and upgrading our infrastructure to today's conditions. But what wasn't said was the dollars that have been diverted over the last number of decades, over 30 years, for environmental programs that haven't worked. And I'm not suggesting environmental programs are bad. That's a whole nother debate and a whole nother topic for one of your programs, perhaps. The environment's very important. To agriculture, it's important. That's part of what makes us sustainable, allows us to stay in business tomorrow. But when you have some groups that are driving an obstructionist agenda, have strategies that divert money from maintenance, from upgrading our infrastructure, to just being an obstructionist, that is not helpful. And some of that we've seen those strategies play out in op-eds this week in the San Francisco Chronicle and the Sacramento Bee and others, where they're suggesting new water storage, additional water storage, or expanding existing facilities is a waste of money, that those monies should be going towards maintenance when, in fact, they're the ones that have diverted money for that maintenance.
Well, and, you know, in the beginning of the program, I'd made mention of the fact that, you know, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting, especially here in California. And the extent to which we're fighting is pretty obvious by the fact that we're short. And we're fighting over every last drop of it. And the contestants are agriculture, or food, nature, the environment and its animals, and the cities. So there are three of these parties contending for water. And it seems like those who live in the city are more closely allied with the environmental causes and the animals, even though the food comes from agriculture. And so agriculture is kind of last man out when it comes to contending for the water and for the money, or at least that's what it seems to me. And we're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, that's the course we want to pursue. We ask Dr. Bill and Danny Reber where we can go. And I'd like to have them explain why the water development of California is so precious, and give us maybe a little thumbnail about the difference between the Sacramento Valley and the San Joaquin Valley, and how they both go to make up California's Great Central Valley, where so much of the nation's food is grown. Do stay tuned. We will be right back.
Let's go back for more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back. Michael Olson here, and today we're talking about a very important subject for everybody in the United States of America, talking about water in California's Great Central Valley. Why is it important? Because California produces, what, two-thirds of the fresh fruits and vegetables, nuts, poultry, dairy. A lot happens here, and it's all dependent upon water. That water is a subject of much contention. It's wanted by those who live in the city. It's wanted by the nature of California, the environment and its animals, and it's wanted by agriculture. So the fight is on for who gets the water. Done a great job of plumbing that water throughout the state, from up in the north where it's always flooding down to the south where it's always in a drought. Built dams, built aqueducts, and we plumbed the heck out of it, both by the feds and by the state of California, thus making it possible for so many people to eat. But before we go to our guests, we're going to go to Shelley, who has a very interesting observation and question. Shelley, are you there?
Yes, Michael. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Everything you all are saying is so well said, and the importance of water, the importance of our economy to the nation and everything. And I hope that people take the Orville Dam and make it almost a rallying cry of what has gone egregiously wrong in the state. I don't know that whoever, the people that are running the state, need to be impeached, recalled, and removed from office. This situation is over the pale in showing complete, what's the word? I'm astonished. And the Orville Dam to me is really the lightning, the point that illustrates how poorly the state is run, how we have not solved the water issues we have known were a problem for 40 years, and they have yet to be addressed. There have been no new water retention systems built in how many years, Michael? 35?
I don't know.
People who are running the state need to be removed. They do not know how to run a state.
Well, that's the point I was trying to bring up. How can you remove them when the people who live in the city are the ones who voted them in. They, those people who are running things are pretty much running them at the direction of those people who live in the city. And it's always been one of agriculture's big problems. Many years ago, most everybody lived on farms, so the farmers had the vote. But then most everybody moved into town and left very few farmers out there in the country. And what happened to their political voice? It disappeared. And so they must contend with those people who would rather vote for the animals and the fish and for the people who live in the city. I think so that's what I think. Dr. Bill, how would you respond to her?
Well, can I just put in one quick suggestion?
One quick thing, yeah.
You do what the environmentalists have done. We run the faces on ads of all the 200,000 people who had to pack up, who were in danger of losing their homes, the agony and everything, the destruction of the dam. Those are the ads that you run and say and put and give back to those people in the city another face that they can be working for and supporting.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to fight for it. Whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting. Thank you for the call. Dr. Bill, how would you respond to her?
Well, I think she's pretty much on the mark, but I think the hope that you're going to vote them all out is probably unrealistic, although it's worth trying. I've proposed it many times. The only time there will be a really serious effort to make the improvements that should be done at that dam is probably when Los Angeles runs out of water for a while. When things have to be, and of course, if you'd lost that dam, they'd be drier than desert rats down there for several years. Orville Dam is a big part of the water that goes to Southern California. But things will calm down. They'll look the other way, and the state bureaucracies will go back to spending most of the money on their pet social programs, and the infrastructure will go to hell.
Danny?
Yeah, I'd like to add a little spin on the caller's cry for kicking them out of office. One of the things that I see every day walking the halls of the Capitol, and keep in mind, I'm a fourth generation Sacramento Valley farmer, so there are folks that work in the Capitol lobbying for their representatives that are often called hired guns. I actually live, breathe, and have lived in this environment my entire life as a farmer. And what I have seen is elected officials that when you can sit down and talk to them, if you've got a decent rapport with them because you're not exaggerating, you're not embellishing issues, but you're being honest and upfront with them, they're going to listen to you. But at the end of the day, when their vote it's time for them to vote, they have to pay attention to their constituents. So really, the communication effort needs to be with the constituents. I've traveled down to the L.A. Basin a number of times for Southern California legislators at their request to speak to their constituents. I'm usually the odd guy out. And we have a little bit of fun with trying to inform them about some of the things we do, why we do it in agriculture, and why it's important to them. And more of that needs to happen, because once constituents understand, then they're going to be on the phone, on email, to their representatives, and then we can get things done.
Well, let me ask you both. When I had our University of California intern, Olivia Duncan, look into the statistics behind California water, and what really amazed her, what the first thing she popped up with was, look, there are endangered species here. And that's the first thing that caught her attention, was the endangered species that have to fight for the water with everybody else. And so I think she's very representative of city folks. You know, city folks are really focused on those endangered species. So how do you contend with that? How do you stand up to that?
Well, and I think it's very important to look at this as not a fish against farmers, for example. And a lot of people like to do that. It's easy to put things in black and white. Yet at the same time, we need to be able to look at ways to help protect these species. We seem to be throwing water at fish at such volumes in recent years that it looks like we're going to drown them. And I'm being a little bit cute there, but honestly, we're looking at a one approach fix instead of looking at restoring habitat and many other things that are scientifically shown to help improve species, whereas throwing more water at them does not. And I'll give you one real quick example.
Hold the example till we get back from this break. Folks, Michael Olson here, Food Chain Radio Program. We're talking with Danny Merkley, Director of Water Resources, California Farm Bureau. Dr. Bill Wattenberg, Engineer Emeritus of California. And you, 831-479-1080, to the phones with you when we get right back. Do stay tuned.
And now, more of What's Eating What on the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
We are back. Folks, you know, we have such a great need for water, and thankfully we have this wonderful state of California that's pretty much ideally designed by the good Lord for water. And we took advantage of that, and we plumbed it, and we dammed it, and we laid aquifers, aqueducts, and we took good advantage of that water, and we developed agriculture. We feed two-thirds of the nation their fresh fruits and vegetables. Oh, my goodness. And we feed cities in the desert where water, the cities would not exist here had we not plumbed that Central Valley. And yet that Central Valley plumbing looks to be in pretty bad shape, given what we've seen at the Oroville Dam. Before we go quickly to Danny's story, Bill, is the rest of the infrastructure that bad as well?
I'm not familiar with, when you say the rest of the infrastructure, I don't think the San Joaquin Valley, below Sacramento, has, I don't believe, the massive facilities you have in the north with Oroville and Shasta dams. But anytime you do not maintain any structure built by man for 20 years, you can expect pieces of it fall apart. And the critical part of a dam like Oroville that could literally wipe out Northern California if it ever burst, it's just unthinkable not to pay attention to some of the warnings that were given, 10 years ago and more before. Or again, just to have competent engineers go up and look and see what could happen. I was involved in this from day one. The damage to the original spillway was discovered on a Tuesday, 10 days ago. By Wednesday morning, it was obvious. They shut down the flow of the main spillway because there was a hole in it. And I warned them in writing to all the top officials of the state immediately, you must get in on an emergency basis right now with contractors who do this and fill that hole with rock. And then get the spillway going again to keep the lake level down. They didn't. They lost a couple of days right there. And that's what brought about all the other events. They didn't use the main spillway to empty the lake until it was a panic. And then they sent down an enormous amount of water independent of the hole in the spillway. But it was too late. The lake was filling quicker than they could dump it. Water went over the emergency spillway. It eroded the mountainside under it. It created the clear and present danger that the dam, that spillway would break. And there you are.
Danny, as a director of Water Resources, California Farm Bureau, surely the rest of the dams and aquifers are not in that kind of shape, are they?
Well, maintenance is important, as Bill said, but we've got a variety of projects. I mean, we have folks in the Delta that rely on levees to protect them, their lives, and their property. It also protects our water quality, not only for the environment, but also for water that gets sent south of the Delta. And then we have folks in the San Joaquin Valley, folks near the Stanislaus River, the San Joaquin River, where down in the valley floor it flattens out, and there's serious flooding. There's flooding going on right now in those areas. But, you know, I think it's important to understand that, and it goes along, I think, with the theme of what we've been talking about. I'll be so bold as to say we do have enough water in this state. We don't manage it well. We don't manage it properly because it comes to us in a much different way than the system was designed for, designed to handle. And we, in addition to the changes in the way we have these more flashier, warmer storm systems instead of the largest natural reservoir, the Sierra snowpack that melts slowly in the spring that we can manage. We also have a population that is increased from 17 million to 38, 39 million today.
Yeah.
And we have environmental policy that regardless of what you think of that policy, let's just talk about the system and how it was designed and built. It was not designed and built to envision the need for water for the environment. And if I can, I'll get back very quickly to the quick story I was going to tell you.
Go ahead.
You know, some of the more, some of the broader projects and approaches to dealing with salmon and other endangered species is, and I'll just give you this one, the Oakdale Irrigation District Honolulu Bar Project. They spent $1.1 million jointly with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to create habitat on the Stanislaus River to help adult salmon spawn and for juveniles to thrive until they begin their journey downstream through the delta and whatnot. And yet, on the other side of that, we have projects where the state has put forward water in one case, 30,000 acre feet of water down the same river, the Stanislaus River, to grow salmon populations. It cost them about that water was worth about $21 million, and it grew the fish population estimates by 9 fish. That's $2 million of fish. If we had the environment proving up the beneficial use of water the way we have to as farmers and citizens, as urban dwellers, that water would never have been spent that way. And there are better ways to help these species than just throwing water at them. And we need to have a broader approach. Look at the...
Good to go. We have to go to a quick break. When we come back, we will follow up with some phone calls. Do stay tuned.
Here's a little secret I'm telling you. Take a little pledge called the 2x2. Spend $2 on local food each day and get two friends to do the same and play. Oh, they'll spend their money, and when they're through, they'll get two friends and do it too.
We can eat our way to economic security and personal freedom. It won't cost an extra dime, and it will be so easy, it will make you blush. All it takes is two numbers. One is two, the other is 2-2. Join us. Take the 2x2 pledge.
There's a little secret I shared with you, a simple pledge called the 2x2. You can do it. It don't cost much. It's so easy, it'll make you blush. Pledge two local bucks each day. Get two others to pledge and play.
Take your 2x2 pledge at metrofarm.com.
2x2. So much to say, so little time to say it. On the Food Chain with Michael Olson.
That's right. So much to say. I have to say something. My daughter Kelsey is getting married tomorrow. And oh my goodness, as a father, I'm very happy. I just want to take this very quick moment to wish her and her husband Sean fair winds, following seas, and faith. And with that, back to California. And oh my goodness, we're in really deep doo-doo if we don't do something. Dr. Bill, what should we do?
Well, what's really necessary at the Oroville Dam is now being done at the Oroville Dam a week late. Look, I and many others told them they had to jump on that original, the hole in that original, the main spillway immediately that Wednesday morning. And within 6 hours with local contractors that had been used before, they could have been filling the hole, had the main spillway back in operation to keep the lake level down. They are now doing exactly that to try to get repair the area underneath the emergency spillway, which is the biggest danger, by having massive amounts of rock brought in called riprap and dumped in the hole. All that was available 6 hours after the original problem started. Well, they're doing it now. Gee, great fanfare. What else is new? The contractors and the rock and all of it was sitting right there within 50 miles of Oroville. Had been used before to repair the Feather River Highway Canyon.
Do you feel like the little Dutch boy with his thumb in the dike?
Yes, very much so, although I'm quite used to bureaucrats never listening until it's too late. Then they panic and take full credit for it as if they did something heroic. Well, the problem is, I think the governor's office finally decided realized there was no one home in the Department of Water Resources. They did not, to my evidence, reach over to the Department of Transportation, or more than anything else, the railroads. The railroads respond immediately to big washouts like this.
Yeah.
And they have all the material sitting right there within, as I said, a few miles of the Oroville Dam. They're doing it now, but it's 10 days too late.
Well, Danny, as a director of water resources for the California Farm Bureau, and you're looking over the entire system, what do you think we need to do to ensure that we have enough water to grow the nation's food?
Well, number one, we need to operate the systems that we have in place today to today's conditions, and we're still operating them the way they were set up. As you heard, the operations manual for Oroville is 50 years old, and we need to upgrade the way we operate the systems. Number two, we need to increase our ability to capture the water the way we get it today. Take your coffee pot, put a stopper in your kitchen sink and dump it immediately into the sink, and you're going to capture it. That's the way we get our water today versus a slow Sierra snow melt and normal little rainstorms with occasional bigger ones throughout the winter season. Now take that coffee pot and dump it immediately the same way you did into the sink into your coffee filter filled with coffee grounds.
Overflows.
And that's the problem we have. We need strategically located new surface storage that can, one, provide surface water for cities and agriculture and the environment during the dry season, and can also help to recharge our groundwater basins, and that's why they have to be located in the right places.
There you go. We just ran out of time, and we probably ran out of strategy as well. So let's give those folks in Sacramento a little prayer, because they're going to need it to fix this one. Folks, this has been The Food Chain. Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Bill. Thank you, Danny Merkley, and thank everyone.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.